Well, it's good to see you all here. It's interesting because I noticed this unique thing is that not too many people like to park in the parking lot. You guys all park on the street and out other places, and so it looks empty. And so I guess I can start parking in the parking lot if you guys are not going to park in the parking lot. So anyway, and all those handicapped spots, you know, I mean, really, if that's all that's open, just limp, okay? No, it's not a problem. They're technically not legal because there's no sign. So it's just, anyway, I don't know, just gonna say that. Anyway, for those of you who are visiting with us, it's good to have you here this morning. And I just ask that you would hang around and give us a chance to get to know you following the service and kind of just shake your hand and just find out who you are, and you can find out a little bit about us too if you're brave. So anyway, it's good to be here. I'm going to ask for your prayers this week because this is our once a year annual trek to the Oregon coast where there's sand and Melissa's family. And by the way, you didn't think of your mother, did you? Okay, good. Just checking. So anyway, yeah, we're going to, it's that time, and really kind of exciting time to go down and get into a little bit different climate. I guarantee you it will not be 90 degrees on the Oregon coast. But I also will guarantee you there is sand, and I don't like it. So anyway, I enjoy going to the coast because I have a great Goodwill store. And Fred Meyer's potato and sweet shop had, and the ice cream place, what is that? Tomek Ice Cream Factory. So, anyway, other than that, it's pretty important. So, we're going to be there this week, and so I'd just be praying that we'd have a good time, a refreshing time too, and get to see the family all gathered together. So, I guess I'm stalling because I'm going to talk about something that everyone tries to avoid talking about. I'm going to talk about death. You know, I mean, how often do we do that? You know, I mean, you generally come up and say, hey, how's it going? By the way, how about death lately? You know, usually you don't do that. It's not part of the conversation. And in fact, it's really interesting how people try to avoid it. Now, there have been several occasions when there have been funerals at this church from people who were outside of the church family, and actually we don't do that anymore unless Pastor Dean, myself, or Steve lead the service, or one of the pastors in our community that we know is going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I remember one particular time I was sitting in my office. I don't remember who had died, but it was a prominent figure in the community, and so it was like it was a large funeral. And that's, of course, why they want to use our building, because we're one of the larger ones to do funerals in. And so I didn't have anything to do with the funeral, so I was sitting in my office, and I'm trying to do some work and stuff. And the noise in the entryway was so loud. People were laughing and joking, and I could hear voices and stuff. And I stopped, and I was kind of like, now this is a funeral, right? I mean, people are coming to pay their last respects to this person who had passed away. Evidently, they didn't like him much or something, because they certainly were laughing enough. And, you know, I stopped to think about why is it that they are having such a grand time when someone who they know and probably have, are friends with, or, you know, they're gone, they've died. Why is it that they're so happy about that? Unless this person really wasn't that, you know, kind of an Ebenezer Scrooge type person. I mean, I don't know, but actually, I stopped to think about it, and I think the reason that this kind of stuff goes on at a funeral, and it was not what I would consider a Christian funeral. And it's because people are ignoring the fact that someone has died. They're trying to not think about death. You know, because it is a scary thought. It's, you know, and as I get older, it's something that comes into my mind considerably more now. You know, when I was a kid, nothing was going to happen to me. When you are a kid, you don't think anything will happen to you. But now that I'm getting up in years, which really sounds weird for me to say that, but now that I'm getting up in years, I think about death. I think about, you know, well, boy, there's just a lot of things that go wrong with my body. You know, it's wearing out, and I'm not taking really great care of it. So there are those, you know, I'm not going to live forever, I think about those things. I don't talk about them, but I think about them, and it's kind of depressing, because death is depressing. Death is scary. Death is something that we all try to avoid, and yet death is something that we cannot avoid. Now, last week, Dean talked about the death of Jesus and his death on the cross, and I didn't catch the end of his sermon. He better not have come into my section, or else he'll hear about it tomorrow or Tuesday. I'm assuming that he explained to you why Christ had to die, why death had to happen in that case. Well, we're talking about a joyous thing. Now, one thing the story has done for us is it's caused us to celebrate things out of season. We sang, not too long ago, a Christmas song. And I'm not being too long ago. It was June. We sang Christmas songs. Today, we're singing songs that deal with the resurrection. And I think we're going to close with a very familiar Easter song, a resurrection song, and this is July. But you know, when you stop to think of it, how silly is it that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ once a year? Isn't that kind of odd? We should celebrate it all the time. How odd is it that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ only once a year? We should do it all the time. So the story's been really good at for us to break out of some of the routines that we get into and the schedules that we keep. But in first of all, talking about the subject of death, and it's going to be dark, and then it's going to get really, really good, folks. So just hang in there. If you want to snooze now, then you wake up in about 10 minutes, and then you'll hear a good part of the sermon. But first of all, I just want to state that death is an issue we all will face. Death is an issue we all will face. That is, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes soon. And then, you know, we'll be raptured, which is kind of cool. When I was a kid, I didn't really want to be raptured. I wanted to grow old. And now that I'm old, I really want to be raptured. You know, because I would like to avoid dying. I really would. And so, Lord, if you could come in about 15 to 20 years, I'd be really good with that. No, Lord, come now. We want you to come. And that's the only way that we in this room are going to avoid death. I hate to tell you that, but that's the only way you're going to avoid death is if Jesus Christ were to come in your lifetime. No, death is really a fact of life. I have a quote that comes from Benjamin Franklin, and I think I have, go to the next thing. I think we have, good looking dude, isn't he? Anyway, Benjamin Franklin was, this is attributed to him in a letter that he wrote in 1789. And it says, "Our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." The only two things that we can think of with certainty in this world is debt and taxes. Now, I always thought that Will Rogers said that, but actually, Will Rogers' quote is this. I don't have it on the screen, but his quote is this. The only difference between death and taxes is that death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. So I just thought that that was kind of a cool little statement. So Will didn't do the good one, but he didn't do the first one, but he did a good one. So and the Bible tells us that death is something that we cannot avoid. If we go clear back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, and of course it's after the fall, God says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. God created us from the dust of the earth, blew his breath of life into us, and that breath will leave us, and our bodies will once again turn to dust. Ecclesiastes, a very cheerful book. It's not, that's, I'm kidding you. So anyway, Ecclesiastes 5:16 says, this too is a grievous evil. A man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since his toil? Sent his toil for the wind. Now, I like it better in the NAS. I'm using the NIV right now, and the New American Standard has it this way. This also is a grievous evil. Exactly as a man is born, as well he die. So what is the advantage to him who toils for the wind? I'm telling you, you know, this is not a book you want to read if you're in a bad mood or down a little bit, because Solomon really lays it on. It's a great book. Don't get me wrong. Because this book really spells out how foolish we are to try to build our life around things, around the material things. Solomon, probably the most wealthiest man ever to live. I don't know if he compares to some of the new people today, but could do anything, could have anything. Now, one of the things Solomon too had that some of our millionaires and billionaires don't have today is power. Solomon was the king. He had absolute say and absolute rule. So he had everything going for him, and when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you understand that this was a most miserable man. A most miserable man, because all these things he had meant nothing. Because I think when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, I think Solomon had in mind death. And he's thinking, I do all these great things while I'm alive. I build plantations, palaces, all this stuff. I'm going to die, and I leave it to my kids who didn't work for it, who didn't do anything for it. I don't take it with me. And so it's a great book to put perspective on life. So I don't ever want you to skip Ecclesiastes, but just know that when you read it, it's not necessarily an upper. Okay? If you want an upper, read the Song of Solomon. No, that's if you want to be confused. If you want to, there are great books. Read Psalms. That's a great book for uppers. Anyway, but again, we look at this thing, and in fact, man dies. Man dies. As he is born, so he dies. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. So that's the facts, and we don't like to talk about it, we don't like to think about it, but in our life, more than likely, as the Lord comes, we are going to face death. So, what is the cause of death? What is the cause of death? Now, You know, I watch a lot of crime shows on Netflix, so they're all reruns, but I like to watch them, and in almost all the crime shows, the victim is sent to the morgue, and then they perform an autopsy on the person so that they know how they died. Well, the root cause of death is not gunshot or not poison or stabbing or strangulation or heart attack or stroke. The main group of the root cause of death is sin. It's sin. That's how it all got started. Way, way long ago, back in the book of Genesis, it's sin. Man's sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death comes to all men, because all have sinned." You know, death was not in God's plan. His overall plan, when he created Adam and Eve, when he created, he did not not expect, because again, we're putting in God's into God's personality, but he did not desire for man to die. Man was going to live forever with him in the Garden of Eden. It was going to be a perfect existence. Death is not God's plan. It's the road that man chose when he sinned. And because of that sin, we all have death to look forward to. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I have to throw that in there because just for encouragement, the light that is coming. James puts it this way, first in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." That's the problem. That's the problem. And believe me, God is not the author of sin. God did not create sin. Man did that when he disobeyed God. And because of that, the punishment is death. Okay. This is where it's going to start getting good, though. So now you guys can wake up. If you dozed off, this is a good time to wake up. Last week, we left Jesus Christ in the grave. At least I think he left him in the grave. Better out. Anyway, he had been crucified, and he was buried. And he was in the grave. Very dark time, very sad time for all his followers, because they had this mindset that death was the end of everything. That there was no power that could conquer death. And then we have this tremendous story at the end of, well, it's the end of all the Gospels, but I'm looking at Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. Jesus in the grave. It says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now, I like this version is because, and I chose this one, they're all good, but in this one, the angel that is in the tomb says to the women, you are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He was put to death. He had died. The angels is restating the case here that Jesus didn't just fall into a stupor. He wasn't just partially dead, and when they put him in the tomb, he revived over the 3 days. No, he was crucified. He was put to death. And he was buried there. He's not here now. And no one came and took him. They didn't go put him in a different place or a better tomb. He's not here because he is risen. He is not dead anymore. He has come back to life. He has conquered death. Jesus Christ conquered death. The one thing that we can't do anything about, the one thing that we can't avoid, Jesus Christ conquered. Now, this wasn't the first time that someone had come back from the dead. If you go to 1 Kings 17, 21 and 22, and by the way, there were two men who didn't face death. I need to tell you that just so you know that I know that there are two men who didn't face death. Enoch did not die, even though his son was the oldest man in the world and died before his father. That's just a great riddle, so make sure you hang on to that one. And the other one who did not die was Elijah, because he was taken up in a chariot. So those two men got to avoid death, and you know, maybe there were others, but that was always God's special provision. But anyway, in 1 Kings 17, 21 and 22, we read about Elijah raising a young boy who had died. And then in 2 Kings 4, 32 to 35, this is not in your notes and it's not on the screen either. Elisha raised a young boy. And then we go into the New Testament, Luke 7, 14 and 15, Jesus raised a young man. And then in Luke 8, 51 to 55, Jesus raised a young girl. And then in John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus, the most famous of the kind of raised from the dead stories. And then even after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Paul raised a young man who happened to die when he fell asleep during a sermon. So I want you to think about that. Especially those in the balcony. Actually, the story was this young man was sitting in the window on the third floor of a building, and Paul was probably went way longer than Dean and I would even go together in first Dean. And anyway, the guy fell asleep out the window, and they picked him up dead. But Paul, not wanting to think that he had killed anyone in a sermon, went down and revived him again. So anyway, there are records in the New Testament of people being raised from the dead, but I want to tell you something that these people all had the privilege of. And you know what that is? Dying twice. And if it wasn't fun the first time, you'll get to do it again. Because see, they all died again. But Jesus Christ's resurrection was a little different. He was raised from the dead by God, never to die again. Jesus Christ is still alive. Lazarus died. These people that were all raised in the Old and New Testament, they all died a second time and are now dead. But not Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered it. He beat it. Listen to what the scriptures have to say about what Jesus Christ did. 2 Timothy 1:10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He has destroyed death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, and that is the enemy that are all going to be put under Jesus' feet. So Jesus conquered death. He beat death. He destroyed death. He had victory over death. So death is no more an issue, or should not be an issue for us who believe in Jesus Christ, because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we conquer death. That's the exciting news. I wish I could say that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will no longer die. But unfortunately, physically, we will die. Our bodies are wearing out. Even for those who are young, maybe your bodies are still getting strong. But mine stopped getting strong about 40 years ago. And it's now doing, I'm on the downhill side of things. And so my body is going to stop functioning. That is still a curse of the sin, of sin that is in my life. But because Jesus Christ conquered death, and because he was raised from the dead, I am going to be raised from the dead too. Oh, you're not going to see me here on this earth. We'll see each other again, but it's going to be on the other side, and it's going to be in heaven. So when I die, I'm no longer here on this earth. But after the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he sets everything right, there's going to be this great reunion. And I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see those who preceded me, my aunts and my uncles, my grandparents that I didn't ever know, my grandfathers, neither one of them. I'm hoping to see him in heaven. Death is really, it's an inconvenience. It's really what it is for those who believe in the Lord. It's an inconvenience. We have to go through the pain and sorrow and suffering of death, but then it's done. And we will be raised with Jesus, like Jesus Christ was raised. And again, the scriptures are full of the promises of being raised again. John 11:24-26. This is before Jesus died on the cross, but he's predicting, he's telling Martha what exactly is going to be. This is Lazarus' death, and Martha is talking to him, and Jesus asked Martha a question. Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Jesus states it right there. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. There's the tremendous promise of the gospel, is that even though death is something that's going to take us, death is not something that can hold us because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did for us on the cross. Romans 8:37 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We are conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14-15. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We should no longer fear death. It shouldn't be a frightful thing for us. Now, I'm not saying that we long for it, although there are people who are longing to die so they can go to be with the Lord. I talk to them every week. People will say, I just want to go to be with the Lord, and that's great. They don't have a fear of death. They just want to get there. But for a lot of us, there's a fear, but that fear is unrealistic. That doesn't mean we necessarily want to die, but we should not be afraid of death because Jesus Christ has conquered it, and by our belief in Jesus Christ and what he has done, we have victory over death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 22, Paul writes this, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection from the dead came also through a man. For in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive." What a tremendous promise. Yes, sin started with Adam, and death came in with sin, and so we are all sinners and we all die. But in Jesus Christ, we have victory over death. Victory over death. This last passage of Scripture, and I read this a lot at funerals, and I read a lot of these at funerals, because Christian funerals, because I want to give hope to people. Now, I don't mourn for a fellow believer who has passed away. I don't mourn for them. Now, I hurt for their family who missed them. I hurt for the friends who missed them. But I don't mourn for that person because they have just passed from our life into death, and then from that death into eternal life with God in glory. And why in the world would I want them to come back and be here when they are going to be with the Lord in glory? You know, so I don't mourn for people who die who are believers. I celebrate for them. I mourn for their families, yes, but I celebrate for them. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58, this is what Paul writes. "When the perishable has been clothed in the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have victory over death. Don't let death bother you anymore. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just a phase of life that you need to go through to get to eternal life. Don't let it bother you, because death cannot hold you any longer. And then with that thought in mind, Paul finishes that chapter with verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Stand firm. We are victorious over the grave because of Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection, because of Jesus being put into the grave but rising from the grave. And such a tremendous celebration, because Jesus has conquered death. And by believing in him and giving our lives to him, we also are going to be raised from the dead. We are victorious. Let's pray. Father, thank you that death no longer has a sting, that death no longer has the power to hold us. Yes, physically we will die. But Lord, because of Jesus Christ, we will be raised again. And we will have glorified bodies. And we will never, ever again face death because of the love of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Father, help us to live in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray this in his name. Amen.